You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Today on the On Enquirer podcast, we bring the noise. Noisy Huevos, the big noise. Brad Evans, our local and national bracket expert. Brad Evans, entertaining as always, but yesterday we kind of reacted just to the Illinois part of the men's and women's bracket. Today, let's get perspective not only on Illinois, Arkansas, potentially Illinois, Kansas, but the entire bracket. Let's help fill out your and finalize your bracket with Brad Evans, who's been watching college basketball all year just for you, to give you some advice about what he thinks of these regions. Sometimes it's good advice, sometimes it's bad advice, but he lives up to it. He owns it no matter what. We'll get his insight on the West, the Midwest, the South, the East. What Big Ten teams can advance to the Sweet 16? Brad's got an interesting answer on that one, and you'll want to hear that. But also gives you some potential upset specials and the teams he really likes to advance far in this NCAA tournament. So that is coming up shortly. But first, when I bring up the names Frank Williams, Sergio McClain, Marcus Griffin, Jerry Hester, and others, of course you think Illini basketball, but you also think Peoria basketball. For two decades, the Peoria to Illinois pipeline powered one of the greatest eras in Illini hoops history. And now you can read the inside stories and the behind-the-scenes tales of these players and more in an engaging and insightful new book. It's called Playgrounds to the Pros, Legends of Peoria Basketball by Jeff Karzin and published by the University of Illinois Press. You can find your copy, get your copy, wherever you shop for books online. They just sent me a copy of this. Great book. Great for any basketball fan, Illini basketball fan, Central Illinois, Illinois basketball fan. Playgrounds to the Pros, written by Jeff Karzin, the legends of Peoria basketball. Brad Evans breaks down the bracket next on the Illini Enquirer podcast.
Hey, I'm Brett Podolsky, co-founder of The Farmer's Dog. We make fresh food for dogs. We started the company when we saw what a huge difference it made in my own dog, Jada, when she stopped eating ultra-processed kibble and started eating fresh, whole food. The Farmer's Dog food isn't fancy. It's just real food delivered to your door in pre-portioned packs. It's better for them and easier for you.
Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/podcast. That's thefarmersdog.com/podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, the brackets are out, so we got to talk to our bracket expert. He's Brad Evans, Valley Sports, been filling out his bracket big board all year. Brad, let's go with your beloved, the Fighting Illini, get a 9 seed in this bracket. How'd you think Illinois got treated by the committee here?
Yeah, I thought they were straddling the 9-10 line, quite honestly. And I think a lot of us were ultimately disappointed that they were a single-digit and not a double-digit seed because of the history there that is involved with 8-9s versus 1s, if you can even survive in advance. And right now, I think that is the $64,000 question with the orange and blue is whether or not they can fend off Arkansas and move on to the next round and get that rematch of sorts with Bill Self. And the Kansas Jayhawks, which would just be incredible for all the storylines, for all the drama, must-see TV, to say the least. And Illinois fans will be sacrificing as many chicken wings as possible, I believe, watching that matchup happen. And hopefully they can exact some of that vengeance and revenge on Self. But, yeah, I mean, it's fair what they end up getting. I thought, honestly, the committee did a fairly good job. The only question marks I had was Rutgers not getting in. I thought they were in fairly comfortably as an 11 seed, avoiding Dayton. Instead, you put Nevada in, which I think was highly suspect in terms of their overall profile, though the net ranking was pretty good. They had some of the good quad one wins, but it was kind of a Pac-12 versus Mountain West conversation. And you know me, I'm a strong advocate for the Mountain West Conference. I've watched an obscene amount of hours of, like, Colorado State games this year, for example. So, you know, it's good for that league. But that one, to me, they missed on. And then Texas A&M got the shaft as a 7 seed. And I thought they had the profile of a 5. I think ultimately what it boils down to is if you lose to the dregs of the keg in your league or outside of the league, like, you know, Texas A&M losing, I don't know, Murray State, for example, who was way down this year, or Rutgers losing to, say, Minnesota, that really dragged the profile down for both those squads. And ultimately, they didn't have a surplus of quadrant one wins necessary to move Texas A&M up a couple of lines or Rutgers into the field.
You kind of look at this Illinois-Arkansas matchup, Brad. Do you kind of see the Spider-Man meme of two teams that are very talented, but, you know, really inconsistent and frustrating at times? So what do you think of this matchup on the court between the Razorbacks and Illini?
Yeah, they are a mirror image of one another, statistically speaking. There is no question about that. I mean, you look at the full body of work, and Illinois built skyscrapers from outside, north of 300 and three-point percentage offense. And, oh, what a quinky-dink. Arkansas right there in the exact same category, number 304, according to KenPom, in three-point percentage offense. Both defend stoutly and well. I think Arkansas, a little bit higher defensive acumen overall, but, you know, you look at the numerics that bear out, they're both outstanding in that regard. Depth about the same for each team. I think, honestly, what it really boils down to is guard play, as always is in the NCAA tournament. In single elimination formats, what version of the backcourt are we going to get with the ILL, right? Ken Epps come in and resemble the player we saw at times down the stretch pre-injury, you know, before the concussion. He's going to have some fog, some lingering effects. It's good that you have this multi-day cushion that's built in. And, you know, you could say, hey, Illinois, extremely disappointed in the Big Ten tournament, exiting stage left the first game to Penn State, but it gave Epps some additional time to get himself back and prepare. So that's the silver lining for getting ousted from that exercise immediately. But, you know, Nick Smith Jr. is a legitimate pro. Guy can get buckets everywhere, whether on the baseline, whether driving the cup, whether stepping outside and knocking down shots from three. One of the few guys that can do that somewhat consistently. And I like the front court of Arkansas. And again, they defend at a high rate. I think the biggest difference here in this game, when you break down the numbers, and I did the research, that's why I'm looking at my pad of paper, I'm going to tell you exactly what I found using Bart Torvik, and I like to geek out with all the you know, measurements on that side and the date ranges you can use. So since February 1st, Arkansas is number 23 overall, according to Bart Torvik's advanced analytics. Illinois during that stretch, number 82. Give me a bucket now so I can barf in it. That is a problem. Arkansas playing at a higher level, though the record may not show it at the most opportune time. Illinois really the antithesis of that. And if that mediocre, bland version of the Illini shows up, they're going to lose. And unfortunately, they're not going to score the cover either. So I like Arkansas in this game.
Yeah, if Illinois does win this game, what do you think has to happen, Brad? Is it just Meyer, Shannon going God mode like we've seen in spurts at times?
Yeah, I think Coleman Hawkins is absolutely going to be key from a defensive end, because I think he is one of the guys who has the versatility, the shot blocking skills, obviously, the length, which is highly disruptive, to maybe somewhat put Nick Smith Jr. in check. I'm not saying he's got to shut him down completely, but keep him under like 15 points. I think that's the magic number there. You know, Council is the guy that can really light it up for all points on the floor as well, but his shot's been so much erratic. You know, compared to earlier season outputs, like, you know, I remember those games in Maui, he was nearly automatic from like a range of 15 to 25 feet. The guy was just draining buckets left and right. Hopefully that version will not show up. And then the other key, I think, for Illinois is this. Somehow Matthew Meyer with those step backs, and I just know how comfortable these guys are shooting threes, and it's so uncomfortable for all of us to watch. You're like, what are you doing? Put the ball on the deck and drive. Quick and complacent with the outside jumper, Meyer. But if he has those step backs and he can knock them down, I think the magic number here for Illinois is like eight threes. Yeah. If they get eight or more triples in this game, Illinois is winning. Because I don't see, and, you know, again, night in, night out, anything can happen in college basketball. Arkansas having really an out-of-body experience in their own right in draining eight or more threes. So if Illinois limit the turnovers, win the battle of the boards, somehow neutralize Nick Smith Jr. with Coleman Hawkins' defense, and then edge Arkansas in the three-point game, oh, we get that lovely matchup, more than likely, with the Kansas Jayhawks in a round of 32. And if that does happen, I will drink every bottle of tequila at Casa de Evans, and I have a lot.
Yeah, if Illinois wants people to remember this season fondly, they have a path to do that, Brad, with Kansas potentially in the second round. Let's look at this West region, Brad. Kansas was in the conversation at one point for the number one overall seed. I think they got the third number one overall seed with Houston going above them. And I don't think they got help very much by the committee, but I'll let you break down this West region. What do you think about Kansas? How good are they, and how tough is their path with Illinois or Arkansas in the second round and potentially UConn in the Sweet 16?
Yeah, this is a murderer's row, man. This is by far the most rough and rugged section of the bracket that you'll see. I have a number of teams that could come out of here, quite frankly. The team I posted on my Twitter feed, at Noisy Huevos, a pair of my brackets. I always print the bracket off immediately, and it's my gut bracket. Mm-hmm. You know, just based on the thousands of hours of basketball I've consumed, all the numerics that are dancing around in my head, and those one-on-one matchups, who's going to, you know, outperform who. So I put that all together. And on the gut bracket, I took UCLA, you know, despite losing Clark and Bona, which are going to be major punches to the gut they're going to have to try to absorb to survive this region. But I did an analytical bracket today, and in that one, I took UConn. So bar none here, the bottom line moral of the story is fade Kansas. I don't think the Jayhawks are really constructed to make a deep run in this region whatsoever based on the tough road to hoe here. And the good Grady Dick has got to show up. They live and die by the good Dick or the bad Dick. And insert sophomore joke here. But, you know, when the good Dick shows up, they can really do some damage in the box score and advance on and maybe get back to the Mecca college basketball. But if the bad Dick shows up, well, unfortunately, lack of a better word, it's a flaccid performance for Kansas.
Only you, Brad Evans.
Too easy, man.
I'm not editing that whatsoever, and I love it. Let's see. What intrigues you most outside of Arkansas, Illinois as an Illini guy? What intrigues you most first round in this matchup or potential Cinderella for you?
I got two, actually. Oh. VCU St. Mary's I find fascinating. Yeah. And we got a little bit of a clue, some breadcrumbs to St. Mary's and their general weakness against Gonzaga in the WCC final. Gonzaga was basically playing like token pressure in that game. They were not white on rice at times. They have like a couple of guys bring pressure in around the half court line or some token pressure when you had the inbound. And St. Mary's is folding to that simple pressure. It's like 101 level stuff, and they don't really have the ball handlers, despite, I think, Aidan Mahaney's ceiling is being on NBA roster for the next 10 years. They don't have any really consistent, reliable ball handlers outside of him. So that's an issue against VCU, which is still playing that Havoc style that Shaka Smart implemented years ago. They're forcing opponent turnovers 23% of their possessions. I see that being a classic 12-5 upset. And the other game I find ultimately fascinating in this region is Boise State and Northwestern. And I kind of have a soft spot with the Wildcats because they just, you know, they've been the dregs of the keg of the Big Ten for the most part for several years. And me growing up, they were the laughing stock, except for Evan Eschmeyer, who's like the greatest Wildcat of all time. But
few
I love
good
the high
solid,
Sox
back good, in the day. Few good solid Scherna years in there, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, there were some solid instances. Carvel Ammons, former Centennial grad, a guy that I graduated with from Centennial High School here in Champaign. He played there for a hot minute. But regardless, this is the best draw possible, I think, for Northwestern, a 7-10 matchup, because their mirror images of one another, the Wildcats and the Broncos of Boise State. I think Boo Booey shows up. I think offensively, which they've been somewhat inept at times, they're going to be able to ratchet up. And I've watched Boise State. They played some discombobulated and mindless basketball at times this year, despite having an older group of individuals. I like Northwestern to win one game. And then they will likely face UCLA despite their injuries at the legs of stage left. But, yeah, a lot of enticing matchups really in this region.
Loaded, loaded region. Let's go to the Midwest, where Houston gets the number one overall seed here. Texas, the 2. Then, of course, Xavier, the 3. Indiana, the 4. What do you think of this region? What stands out here, Brad?
Indiana got royally screwed, and I think Indiana's in trouble in round one, quite honestly, because Kent State is coming in with a buzzsaw that is cranking at a high RPM, and they're going to get sliced in two. I really, frankly, believe the fighting Antonio Gates or Julian Edelman's, I know him from Verizon commercials. I think those guys, you know, could really exit stage left there, Indiana, in the process. You look at Kent State, an outstanding defensive team, man. They really get after you. They were number one in 7 different defensive categories in the MAC conference this year. I know Hoot Schifino's really turned his game on and can get buckets anywhere. Jackson Davis, we all know his story, unfortunately, from watching him in person. I bared witness to it, Illinois losing to them and his pure domination in that game. And what he can do, and he's a legitimate pro now, given the frozen ropes that he is throwing as a distributor. You know, those are matchup problems for Kent State, but they will find a way to pinch. They will find a way to challenge, contest shots, and they're not bad offensively either. I think that is ripe for a 13-4 upset in that region. And the other one, too, that I really want to zero in on, watch Mississippi State-Pittsburgh in the first 4 matchup in Dayton, because we've seen a lot of success with first 4 participants since it was introduced in 2011. All but 1 year, first 4 team has gone on to win another game. And I think this year it's going to be the Bulldogs and Mississippi State, because they play outstanding, extraordinary defense. And I think they match up quite well with Iowa State in that 6-11 matchup, assuming Mississippi State does get past the Pittsburgh Panthers, which I think is entirely doable.
Who do you like coming out of there, Brad?
Tejas, Texas. You know, they're playing at a really high level right now. They really defend extraordinarily well, and they've done a good job in road-neutral matchups in terms of defense. Number 49 in EFG defense. They force the 8th most turnovers in road neutral games of any team in the country, 22.3% of opponent possessions. You know, I like Carr. I like their guard play. They've been, you know, unreliable at times offensively. That is a concern. But I think defense, it wins championships and oftentimes advances you on deep into the tournament. And they possess that skill. Though I tell you what, I think Penn State's going to beat Texas A&M. And that Penn State team, if you're going to get another one of those kind of vintage two-seed early exits, which we have seen in 9 of the last 10 tournaments before the end of the first weekend, I wouldn't be surprised if Penn State pulled the rabbit out of the hat there, man. It's just my favorite team, honestly, to watch right now in college basketball are the Nittany Lions and how they execute offensively. Just a joy, pure joy to take in. Unfortunately, I hate to say that as an Illinois fan, because I got to watch it 3 times this year.
Yep, and Shrewsbury's going to turn it into a better job pretty quickly here. All right, let's go to the South, where Alabama, the number one overall seed, has looked pretty indestructible here recently. Yep. Virginia is the 4, Arizona the 2, and excuse me, Baylor is the 3 here. Some fun offensive teams in this region, but what stands out, Brett?
Alabama, it is their road to the Final Four, in my opinion, out of this region. They're the number one and number ones for a reason. They are plus 800 right now to win the national title, plus 190 at BetMGM to come out of this region, and I think they will. They play controlled chaos is the best way to really describe it. They fly up and down the floor. They force a lot of opponent turnovers. They crash the glass relentlessly. And not only that, too, but they bombard you from 3, and they make them with Quinterly, with, of course, Brandon Miller. You know, despite all the controversies that have been tied to this program here the last few weeks, they're the team to beat in the South. And I think really the only team that could challenge them if they bring their A defensive game, which you don't know what you're really going to get night in, night out with them in that regard, is Arizona, because Arizona can, run with Alabama. They can score prolifically. And match them bucket for bucket with Kirk Creasa, with their bigs in the interior, and Tubulis, who is undeniably the best player, in my opinion, in the Pac-12 this year. Those are the two destined to clash, I believe, in the Elite Eight, with Alabama squeaking by and making it to Houston for the Final Four. So, to me, the South region is probably the most predictable region by the numbers that I've seen and through the eye test results as well of all the 4 regions in this field.
Anybody that you think can cause a little chaos in this region?
Yeah, 2 teams. Charleston, number 1. I think they're going to taste sweetness. The Cougars have won 30-plus games for a stinking reason. They're a team that can fly up and down the floor. They relish a brisker pace. They're outstanding offensively. In road neutral games this season, they're a team that is well inside the top 100 in effective field goal percentage offense, and even better defensively, number 25 in the AFG defense. They have strong guard play, they have depth as well, and they jack a boatload of 3-point shots. I think San Diego State, as talented as they are, as great of a season as they've had in the Mountain West, and they're very good defensively, they're a bit clunky offensively, north of 200 EFG offense in row neutral matchups. And I know Matt Bradley can hit some clutch shots, but I think Charleston wins that game. I think they're going to win the next game, whether it's Virginia or Furman, and watch out for Furman. I love them +5.5, by the way, against UVA in what is sure to be a low possession game, because that's how UVA plays. And then the other team I love in this region is Creighton. It is in process right now, but I just posted my bracket flames on ValleySports.com, and the lead feature is on the Creighton Blue Jays. A team that I have a 30-1 ticket on, admittedly, to win the national title. They're fringy right there, borderline top 25 in adjusted offensive, but they're very much inside the top 20 in adjusted defense efficiency. Love their starting 5. Love Ryan Kalkbrenner, their guard play with Nimhardt and Alexander. They got the goods, man. Shireman can hit his 3s. That team is just stingy. And they can splash. They could be soaking wet over multiple games. They'll get by NC State. They're going to beat Baylor. And if they match up against Arizona, they'll push them a limit. No question about it.
Yeah, I like a lot of firepower on that one. All right, Purdue represents the Big Ten. They get the number 1 seed after winning the Big Ten regular season title and the tournament title. But not a very popular pick to go very far, Brad. I've seen a lot of people not even having them make the Sweet 16. What do you think about what they drew in the East region here?
I'm with the consensus here. I'm fading Purdue and fading them hard. No question about that. I mean, look at Purdue and road neutral games this season. Number 116 EFG offense, subpar, but even worse defensively. Number 145 in EFG defense. And the book is out on how to defend this team. Double team Zach Edey, force the kickout game, and let Lawyer and Newman and Gillis and, you know, some of those outside shooters try to beat you. And normally it works. And even if it doesn't work for much of the game and they're hitting their outside shots, Purdue does not possess a killer instinct. We saw it on display in the Big Ten Tournament Final. They were in complete command, complete control against Penn State, and then just fell asleep at the wheel. And then Nittany Lions cut it to one. And then, you know, Purdue was like, oh, we got to grab the wheel. Got to get back on the road. And they figured it out and were able to survive and get the auto berth in process. So that's a concern of mine. And I think Purdue is going to exit early. I said this weeks ago. They're not going to survive the first weekend of the NCAA tournament. I'm sticking to those guns. I got Memphis winning in round one against FAU and beating the Boilers to taste sweetness here in the end.
Yeah, so who else do you like in this? It's really intriguing what Shaka Smart's done at Marquette, what Jerome Tang's done year one at Kansas State. Oh, and then you throw Kentucky and Duke into the mix here. This one feels wide open.
It really does, and the bottom half is going to represent, I think, in the Final Four, whoever emerges from that grouping. Marquette has a positionless basketball team. One is playing an extraordinarily high level right now, offensively, defensively. They force a lot of turnovers. They really exploit those mismatches that they create. They got outstanding guard play. They have the goods to go deep. But I like Duke even more. And I know it's trendy. I know everybody and their great-grandmother at ESPN is on the Blue Devils, maybe contractually because of the ACC money that's coming into that network. But Duke is for real. And they are defending. They're shutting people down since Valentine's Day, Jeremy. Again, Bart Torvik, me geeking out to the date ranges. They are number 8 overall in total efficiency, and a lot of that is stoked by their defensive prowess that they have shown. They're, you know, when you have a 7-footer in Filipowski, who can really rim protect, he can also beat you inside and outside offensively. Roach has really stepped up his game offensively. And I like some of the other complementary players. You know, Grandison's has moments, a former Illini there. I think Duke really is the team to beat in the East. And I might be somewhat biased because I have a plus 900 ticket out on them at BetMGM to represent in the Final Four.
There you go. This is a hard question probably to answer. Which Big Ten team do you think has the best path to the Elite Eight? I won't even say Final Four.
God, I haven't even thought about this because I have no Big Ten team in the Sweet 16, as a matter
wow.
of fact. I don't. It's been a subpar, just bland league for the most part. And, you know, it's devolved over the year. And maybe it's a cannibalization of the Big Ten in itself and why teams have kind of looked the way they've looked. But I don't see anybody really surprising. I don't think anybody possesses, whether statistically or through the eye test, the necessary skill set or characteristics of a team that can make a deep run. Again, the only team, and it's unfortunate where they got their draw, because I think Texas is damn good right now, is Penn State.
Yeah.
Penn State, to me, is the one squad that could, you know, pull the shocker specialist sorts and win a couple of games in the tournament and reach the Sweet 16. Outside of that, I'll say no. And if you can be odds, somebody, hey, BetMGM, hook a brother up. No Big Ten team makes the Sweet 16. What plus money is that? Like plus 700, 600, whatever it is, give it to me, and I'll slap a few bucks on it.
Yeah, because most of these are 7 to 10 seeds, right? So you get a 1 or a 2 seed before you get to the Sweet 16. So that's why I guess I'd pick Indiana, Brad, but I, like you said, they got a bad draw, and it's dependent on Jalen Hood-Schifino, a freshman. So that's where it's really difficult because I know Trace will show up. So maybe they can win a couple games, but that's rough. Rough look for the Big Ten. All right, Brad, before I let you go, and always appreciate your time, give people one piece of advice for filling out a bracket, for finalizing their bracket.
Yeah, look, I've seen a lot of people respond to my gut bracket that I posted, the analytical bracket that I posted on my social media, and they're like, it's too chalky, man. There's going to be so many friggin' upsets this year, bro. You're so off. And they get too cute with it. They fall in love with way too many Cinderellas. And I'm not as promiscuous as maybe some individuals may claim they are when it comes to dating Cinderella or multiple Cinderellas. I'm kind of a one lady or one Cinderella kind of dude. So for me, you know, don't go wild and crazy with the upsets. And to be honest with you, if you want to win your bracket pool this year, you probably got to fade Alabama. It's like 35% that I have seen so far of the brackets at Yahoo Tourney Pick'em. As just one example, has the Crimson Tide winning the whole shebang. In order for that to happen, for you to win, you're going to have to clean up in the early rounds to be that differentiator when the scoring comes in. But if Bama gets knocked out early and somebody else takes the cake, that is going to give you a monumental leg up in overall scoring. So just a little footnote there. Fading Bama may be a road to making some money, whether at the Esquire or I'm going to Huber's later and picking up some bracket sheets. I hope they still have a game going on there. I love the local bar pools in Champaign.
It's a good scene. Follow him on Twitter at Noisy Huevos. Brad, appreciate your time. It's awesome to have somebody local that gives us their time to break down this bracket. Tell people what you got going on next couple weeks, man, because we got to tune into you.
Yeah, look, I'm in full madness mode, as you can tell right now. That box has been checked. It's on my chest, for God's sakes, and blazing across the bird chest that I am representing right now. I'm going to be in Vegas. I'm going to be at the Mandalay Bay, live on the line, presented by BetMGM. We are going to be live from that location during the start of the tournament Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. There is no greater joy than watching tournament games with random people you've never met in your life, and you put your arm around each other after a few adult beverages and you're rooting for the same cause at the bitter end. And I also love this. If you're not familiar with the Race to 15 bets, holy mother of God, is it a blast to chase. Whoever scores 15 points first in a game, that's Race to 15, and everybody seems to play it there at the Mandalay Bay casino and the sports book. So it's a wild roller coaster ride of emotions during those Race to 15s, and I'll probably be on those every single game because I'm in Vegas. Why not?
Well, maybe I'll join you there, Brad, if Illinois can pull these upsets and shock everybody around the world. But Brad Evans, thank you, buddy.
Appreciate it. Good luck, bracketologist.
The Noise was thoroughly rotten. That's what Brad Evans does. But it is awesome to have somebody with Illinois background, Illini knowledge, obviously, but also with the national credibility and national knowledge like Brad Evans to hop on with us. So we appreciate him doing that as always. I got to tell you guys, people have talked, I've talked to this about Piper, Wagner, LaTulip. I didn't even bring it up with Evans. He probably would have crushed me for this. I'm trying something this year because I kept, why wouldn't you fill out a bracket, right? Like, it's fun, but I find myself every year rooting for my bracket rather than just like watching the games and enjoying the madness. So I'm like putting myself through an experiment of not filling out a bracket this year. You guys are throwing tomatoes at your screens or your car windshield. I would advise against that. But I'm just trying it. It's an experiment this year, and I feel like this is the best year to do it because any of us really know this college basketball season of them all. Like, you might not get, you know, an 8 seed in the Final Four, but it just feels like seeds 3 through 9, 10, whatever. There's so little separating all those teams. Like, Brad Evans brought up Creighton. I love Creighton. I love their roster. I would probably pick them to make the Final Four or the Elite Eight in this one. But I don't really have strong feelings otherwise besides I really like Alabama. But it's just I don't have those stronger feelings this year. And I've said this. I just find myself rooting for my bracket, and I feel like that ruins it a little bit. And then some people say, that's the point, what you screamed at me via text message, is you're rooting for your bracket, and then you get to kind of wear it as a badge of honor how terrible your bracket is. I get it, and I'll probably bounce back to it. But I'm just trying. It's hard not to fill out a bracket, I mind you. But covering Illinois, I've just kind of been, you know, focused on them the last 2 days. I haven't felt the need to do it, and I'm going to try it. I'll report back on how it feels about not filling out a bracket and what it's like going through the tournament. But I feel like it's like a weight off my shoulders. I don't have to worry about, I'm going to root for this 5 seed to not lose to the 12 seed because I picked the 5 seed. That's not the 12 I picked. Or, you know, I'm one who, by the time the Elite Eight comes around, I'm done with Cinderella. I want the best teams. But I do want Cinderella to get to the Sweet 16. I do want to root for that. So that's kind of what I'm working with. It's probably a terrible idea. It's probably going to go awfully for me. But I've wanted to try it. I've been too chicken to try it. So I'm gonna not fill out a bracket this year. Is my sports fan card removed after that? You know what? I don't care. I'm doing it. I'll report back. Anyway, thank you for listening to the Illini Inquirer podcast. We got a lot coming up this week. Michael Tulip, who hates my idea of not filling out a bracket, is joining us tomorrow. He can light into me about that. I'll allow him to do that. But we also got an NFL draft expert coming on to break down Illinois' top prospects, 4 guys that could go in this draft. We'll see if anybody can sneak into the late end of the draft. But we also talked about the Bears trade. Break down the top of this draft, the quarterbacks, what potentially the Bears could get at number 9 as well. So we'll have that later on this week, and we will have Michael Tulip. So, and then Derek Piper and I will be in Des Moines starting Tuesday, and then Joey Wagner will be in South Bend starting on Tuesday. So we will have you covered at Illini Inquirer. So now is a great time to sign up for a VIP membership to Illini Inquirer to check out all the content that is up there. Of course, just $1 for your first month of VIP membership. Michael Tulip's going to have a film breakdown of Arkansas, the first-round opponent for Illinois. And we got plenty of football recruiting going on. Illinois really starting to put the focus on some targets. They've had a lot of Zoom calls, so I've been following up with a lot of those prospects here coming up, some of their top targets. And, of course, it is transfer portal season. The transfer portal window has opened. I wouldn't expect Illinois to dive fully into that, though. Tyler Underwood, recruiting guy, is going to be all over that. But there are some intriguing names, and you can check all that out at Illini Inquirer and 24/7 Sports. Everybody, great day. Take care of each other, and we'll talk to you next time right here on the Illini Inquirer podcast.
Bye, everybody.
Hello, everyone. It's Mike Richards here. You might have seen me on CBS working on their Champions League coverage over the last couple of years. I wanted to tell you about an exciting new podcast that I've been working on. It's called The Rest Is Football. It's me, alongside Gary Lineker and Alan Shearer, two absolute legends of the game. The show combines topical debate from the world of soccer along with outrageous tales from our careers. And I mean outrageous. Just search The Rest Is Football wherever you get your podcasts. All the best from Big Meats.